Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign was more than just a political race. It was a laboratory for revolutionary organizing that shattered conventional wisdom. When most Americans first heard Sanders' name, he was polling at just 3% nationally, with no super PACs and no billionaire backers. Yet this unlikely candidate would go on to win 22 states and 46% of pledged delegates while raising a record-breaking $231 million from small donors. The secret? A radical approach to organizing that mobilized over 100,000 volunteers who made 75 million calls, sent 8 million texts, and organized 100,000-plus events nationwide. Rules for Revolutionaries, penned by campaign senior advisors Becky Bond and Zach Exley, has become required reading for progressive organizers worldwide, with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez citing it as a key influence in her historic congressional victory. The book's principles have transformed how movements build power in the digital age, offering a blueprint for combining old-school organizing with modern technology to create truly revolutionary change. Traditional political campaigns operate on what Bond and Exley call small organizing. Incremental goals, limited volunteer engagement, and professional staff doing most of the work. Big organizing flips this model on its head. Instead of trying to micromanage a small group of volunteers, big organizing taps into the thousands of ready volunteer leaders who emerge naturally from communities when called to meaningful action. The Bernie campaign demonstrated this approach by building an unprecedented volunteer voter contact operation. When Sanders called for political revolution, hundreds of thousands answered, defying conventional wisdom about voter apathy. Rather than the traditional campaign approach of hiring staff to do everything important while relegating volunteers to mundane tasks, big organizing empowers volunteers to take on substantive leadership roles. What makes big organizing revolutionary is its scale and ambition. It combines digital campaigning with volunteer field efforts, marrying old-school organizing with modern social platforms. It's not just about technology scaling participation, but creating campaigns where people work together toward meaningful change. Most importantly, big organizing requires big goals: free public college, ending mass incarceration, universal health care, solutions that match the scale of our problems. The power of big organizing comes from its ability to tap into people's desire to be part of something meaningful. As Bond and Exley discovered, people are more willing to step up for something big than something small. When Bernie asked supporters to build a political revolution, they responded with unprecedented enthusiasm. Meanwhile, the Clinton campaign struggled to get even a handful of volunteer events going because they were asking supporters to make three calls today, rather than inviting them to transform America. Big organizing recognizes that communities are filled with talented people who understand what's broken and can create lasting change when given resources. This stands in contrast to more paternalistic organizing models that assume outside organizers need to enlighten communities. By trusting volunteers with real responsibility and meaningful work, big organizing creates the capacity needed to win revolutionary change. When Bernie Sanders launched his campaign, pundits dismissed him as too radical. Instead of moderating his message, Bernie doubled down on revolutionary demands: free college tuition, declaring health care a human right, ending mass incarceration, and banning fracking outright. This authenticity and willingness to make big asks became his greatest strength. The campaign discovered a fundamental truth. People are willing to work hard for big change when there's a credible plan. For big organizing to work, three essential elements are needed: a goal worth people's precious time, a credible plan to victory, and meaningful ways to participate at various commitment levels. The key isn't asking people to pay staff to do something big, but inviting them to be part of something big themselves. This principle manifested dramatically in volunteer engagement. While the Clinton campaign struggled to get even a handful of volunteer events going, Bernie's campaign had volunteers organizing thousands of phone banks nationwide. The difference wasn't charisma, but the scale of the ask. Clinton asked supporters to make 3 calls today, while Bernie invited people to build a political revolution. This principle extends beyond presidential politics. Almost anyone can make a big ask. You don't need charisma, just an ask worth working for, a plan to win, and meaningful volunteer roles that are immediate and crucial. The campaign demonstrated that when you ask people to do small things for small changes, they often don't bother. But when you invite them to do big things to win big changes, they show up in unprecedented numbers. This insight transformed the authors' own lives. Both Becky Bond and Zach Exley gave up promising careers and accepted pay cuts to answer Bernie's call to build a political revolution. The big ask had pulled them in, just as it would eventually pull in hundreds of thousands of volunteers nationwide. If a revolution isn't led by people of color and immigrants, doesn't have fighting racism at its core, and isn't mobilizing white people toward multiracial solidarity, it's not a revolution. The Bernie campaign learned this lesson the hard way when Black Lives Matter protesters interrupted a Netroots Nation town hall in July 2015. Bernie's initial response, "I spent 50 years fighting for civil rights," fell short of putting race at the center of his message. The statistics make clear why racial justice must be central. Black people are 10 times more likely than whites to be jailed for drug use despite similar usage rates. At current rates, it would take the average black family 228 years to achieve parity with today's white family wealth. The richest 400 Americans have the same wealth as all black Americans plus one-third of all Latinos combined. As Alicia Garza, a founder of Black Lives Matter, argued, our political revolution must authentically engage and be led by people of color and immigrants. While Bernie's campaign had inspiring immigrant and working-class people of color leading local efforts, the national leadership, including Bond and Exley, failed to fully rise to this call. Scholars Ian Hanny Lopez and Heather McGee have explained how racism functions as a political weapon wielded by elites against the 99%. While racism helped create the white middle class in the post-war era, since Reagan, it has helped destroy it, as elites use white supremacy to keep struggling whites aligned with plutocratic interests rather than forming multiracial coalitions that could challenge economic inequality. The problem isn't just that not enough white people believe Black Lives Matter, it's that not enough who say it are taking action to dismantle racist structures. Without true multiracial solidarity, we can't build a political revolution big enough to win real change in America. White people have a special responsibility to ensure white working and middle-class voters choose multiracial solidarity as the only true path to addressing inequality. There will never be enough money to hire all the organizers a revolution needs. Fortunately, there are more than enough volunteer leaders among the people. 3 or 4 talented volunteers working part-time can often match a full-time staffer's output. This reality has been demonstrated repeatedly in successful grassroots movements, from civil rights campaigns to modern political organizing. The Bernie Sanders campaign discovered this truth out of necessity during the 2016 primary season. With limited resources to hire staff in all 50 states, they needed to develop what Exley calls a snowmaking machine, a systematic approach to rapidly produce thousands of volunteer teams without relying on paid staff. By July 2015, the movement had reached fever pitch, with volunteers in unstaffed states desperately seeking ways to contribute. This organic enthusiasm created a unique opportunity to experiment with distributed organizing at an unprecedented scale. The campaign built volunteer teams by identifying immediate problems that needed solving. The first major success was the help desk team, led by volunteers Craig Grella and Judy Schumacher, who managed to handle hundreds of thousands of inquiries through a sophisticated ticketing system they developed themselves. When the campaign's official event map crashed under heavy traffic, volunteer developer Rappi Castillo stepped up to build a more robust replacement tool that became essential to the campaign's operations. The campaign's approach to selecting leaders was refreshingly merit-based. They chose people based on their willingness to work and demonstrate results, rather than self-proclaimed leadership abilities or previous experience. The July 29, 2015 kickoff became a watershed moment, the largest political distributed event in history, with 2,700 simultaneous gatherings and 100,000 RSVPs. Bernie Sanders himself was visibly moved by the ability to speak directly to so many supporters gathered in homes across every state in the nation. This massive showing forced mainstream media to reconsider their dismissive stance toward the campaign and marked a turning point in coverage. Throughout the campaign, volunteers from diverse backgrounds stepped into roles traditionally held by paid staff. High school students managed social media campaigns, retired steelworkers coordinated local organizing efforts, and professional videographers produced campaign content pro bono. While volunteers couldn't match paid staff's full-time availability, their passion and dedication often resulted in higher quality work during the hours they could contribute. Many volunteers regularly devoted 20-30 hours weekly to the campaign while maintaining their regular jobs. The principle that the revolution will not be staffed isn't merely idealistic thinking. It's a practical reality of how successful movements scale. While some paid staff are necessary for coordination and consistency, their primary role should be to enable and amplify volunteer efforts, never to replace or suppress them. The Bernie campaign demonstrated this by eventually having hundreds of volunteers in management-level positions, many working full-time equivalent hours in critical roles from data analysis to field organizing. This volunteer leadership structure became a model for subsequent progressive campaigns, proving that passionate volunteers, when properly supported and empowered, can form the backbone of a revolutionary movement. The campaign faced a critical strategic challenge. While thousands of Bernie Sanders supporters were actively volunteering, their efforts were fragmented and often misaligned with the campaign's core objective of winning early primary states. Enthusiastic volunteers were organizing film screenings, debate watch parties, and local rallies. But these activities, while building community, weren't translating into the focused voter contact needed to win elections. Phone banking, their most crucial tool for reaching voters in early states, was severely underutilized, and traditional digital recruitment methods were yielding disappointingly low numbers. Zach Exley proposed a radical departure from conventional digital organizing, getting staff to step away from their computers and directly engage with supporters through large-scale in-person meetings across the country. These barnstorms would serve as crucial connective tissue in a broader user flow strategy, creating a seamless pipeline from online engagement to in-person activation and back to digital organizing. When Becky Bond initially expressed skepticism about the resource-intensive nature of in-person events, the early results silenced all doubts. Even in smaller markets like Johnson City, Tennessee, they drew crowds of 150 passionate supporters, while metropolitan areas like Austin, Texas, attracted over 300 people, demonstrating an appetite for direct engagement that far exceeded expectations. The team methodically reimagined traditional campaign meetings, developing a precise, replicable 90-minute format that could be deployed anywhere with minimal resources. Unlike conventional supporter meetings that often devolved into lengthy discussions and created lists for future follow-up, barnstorms were engineered for immediate action. Through dozens of iterations, they refined every element, from the opening presentation to the closing call to action, optimizing for maximum volunteer conversion. The structured format consistently achieved their target of converting at least 10% of attendees into volunteer phone bank hosts, with the remaining participants committing on the spot to attend these phone banking sessions. The most innovative element was the altar call system, borrowed conceptually from religious revivals. After the main presentation, new phone bank hosts would line up at the front of the room, each taking 30 seconds to announce their event's time and location. Attendees would then physically move around the room, finding and signing up with hosts whose schedules and locations matched their availability. This face-to-face recruitment method proved exponentially more effective than digital signups, with conversion rates that dwarfed traditional online organizing techniques. By January, Barnstorms had become the primary generator of distributed phone banks, with a single meeting in Arizona producing more phone banking capacity in 90 minutes than the state director had managed to create in 3 weeks of traditional organizing. The program reached its full potential when the team began training volunteers to lead these meetings themselves. Of the 1,000 Barnstorms ultimately held nationwide, 650 were led by trained volunteers rather than paid staff, creating a self-replicating organizing system. This innovation, while technically supported by digital tools, paradoxically centered on the power of in-person mass gatherings, proving that sometimes the most effective technology in modern organizing is simply bringing people together in the same room with a clear purpose and structure. To achieve the scale needed for revolution, you must sacrifice perfection. On the Bernie campaign, the distributed organizing team built operations that allowed volunteers to scale their own work, accepting that not everything would be flawless. After launching their phone banking dialer with minimal preparation, they faced numerous technical challenges: disabling pop-up blockers on each computer, navigating confusing interfaces, and running out of phone numbers mid-shift. But despite these imperfections, the results were transformative. Volunteers went from reaching 3 to 4 voters per hour to 20. Their experience proved that launching something imperfect but functional in 3 days was far better than waiting a month for something polished. The dialer eventually engaged over 100,000 Bernie supporters, dramatically increasing volunteer efficiency despite its clunky interface. They shared scripts through Google Docs, which unexpectedly allowed volunteers to suggest improvements through comments. This approach is even more crucial for smaller organizations with limited resources. The fewer people in your organization, the more work you need volunteers to handle. Don't wait for perfection. Get started and figure things out as you go. The campaign's distributed organizing team constantly grew complexity by solving problems as they arose. When their initial team became overwhelmed by the volume of calls needing to be initiated, they formed a dedicated dialer monitor team. When shift changes left callers stranded, they staggered coordinator shifts. When their spreadsheet tracking system became unmanageable, they found a tech retiree from Louisiana through Coders for Sanders, who automated processes that had kept volunteers working until 3 a.m. Throughout this chaos, volunteer teams remained fanatically dedicated to their missions. They solved problems as they arose without grand blueprints, creating specialized teams like a live chat team to help callers with login issues. The phone banking operation continuously improved, with volunteers fine-tuning the dialer's efficiency and building real-time monitoring dashboards. The revolution runs on consumer software. Free and inexpensive tools available to everyone can remove friction and enable teams to work across time and distance toward shared goals, with custom code bridging critical gaps. When Bond joined Bernie's campaign, she was shocked by the limitations of their enterprise CRM platform. It couldn't run automated A/B tests properly, had a broken event tool, and dangerously allowed anyone with event admin access to download contact information for over 500,000 supporters. Rather than trying to fix the CRM, they added a lightweight layer on top and focused on using consumer software platforms like Slack, Google Apps, free conference calling, and Trello that were already serving hundreds of millions of people, weren't buggy, were designed for ease of use, and that many volunteers were already using daily. Saikat Chakrabarty, an early employee from Stripe, joined as Director of Organizing Technology. His highest impact project, Ground Control, provided a snappy interface that allowed volunteer teams to manage events without logging into the campaign CRM. This crucial tool let volunteers review and approve events, create events from Barnstorm sign-in sheets, and automate outreach to nearby Bernie supporters. Text for Bernie exemplified consumer software's power in organizing. The onboarding process was impressively structured. New volunteers entered through Slack channels managed by volunteer text mentors who followed a systematic approach to welcome, train, and verify readiness through quizzes before granting access to assignment channels. Once approved, volunteers used Google Sheets, later replaced by a custom shift scheduler that integrated with Slack, to sign up for shifts. The system was so well designed that program leader Daniel Swanane noted it could run without him, thanks to dedicated volunteers. While bottom-up was a major applause line in Bernie's stump speech, peer-to-peer more accurately describes how their distributed organizing program actually worked. The term originated in distributed file-sharing networks, perfectly describing how volunteers and staff worked in a network rather than a hierarchy. Most importantly, staff saw volunteer leaders as true peers. This approach enabled them to scale organizing nationwide, with volunteers leading 650 of their 1,000 Barnstorms with outcomes virtually identical to those led by paid staff. In growing movements, most participants are typically new to politics, a pattern clearly demonstrated at Bernie's volunteer meetings, where up to three-quarters raised hands when asked who was new to political activism. These newcomers bring distinct advantages. They lack the cynicism and defeatist attitudes from past failed movements, approach challenges with fresh optimism, and importantly, bring valuable leadership skills developed in their professional and community lives. Their inexperience with traditional political organizing often proves to be an asset rather than a liability. The real challenge emerges when established political institutions and veteran activists, shaped by past movements, create unnecessary barriers for these enthusiastic newcomers. These barriers might include complex procedural requirements, insider jargon, or rigid hierarchical structures that discourage innovation. The most successful approach combines the energy of newcomers with the experience of seasoned professionals who maintain their idealistic drive, as exemplified by Bernie's distributed organizing team, which created a dynamic blend of experienced campaign staff working as equals with first-time volunteers. Stories of newcomer success abound. Deborah Mays, facing significant economic hardship, traveled across multiple states to volunteer, consistently challenging campaign orthodoxy with penetrating questions about strategy and voter outreach. Issy Allison, with no prior political experience, built and coordinated volunteer networks across state lines, developing systems that veteran organizers later adopted. In Miami, first-time activists transformed empty storefronts into thriving campaign offices, handling everything from facility maintenance to sophisticated voter outreach programs, all without professional supervision. They created efficient systems for phone banking, volunteer scheduling, and voter data management that sometimes outperformed traditional campaign offices. This pattern of newcomer innovation repeats consistently across major social movements, each representing a fresh opportunity for transformational change. These moments of mass participation create windows for dramatic social progress. However, most movements eventually face decline without achieving their revolutionary potential, leaving behind institutional structures where the most passionate activists move on, while those more comfortable with bureaucracy remain. These institutional fossils often become obstacles when new movements emerge, resisting fresh approaches and enthusiasm, despite newcomers frequently possessing superior leadership qualities developed through their diverse life experiences. The key lesson is that successful movements must actively protect and nurture their new participants, creating structures that empower rather than constrain their natural leadership abilities. This means designing systems that value practical experience as much as political expertise, and maintaining an organizational culture that remains open to innovation and fresh perspectives. Revolutions alternate between elation and heartbreak, rarely succeeding immediately. When they do achieve their goals, it's usually after years of building confidence, developing tactics, and gaining momentum through setbacks that train an expanding base of believers. Historical movements like civil rights and women's suffrage demonstrate this pattern. Years of organizing, setbacks, and persistent rebuilding before achieving transformational change. While Bernie's campaign fell short of the nomination, it demonstrated that political revolution is possible in modern America. Starting with just 3% name recognition and no money, Bernie ultimately won 22 states and 46% of pledged delegates against one of the most established political machines in recent history. The campaign built a massive volunteer operation that made over 75 million calls, sent 8 million texts, and held over 100,000 events. Volunteers created their own phone banking tools, organized debate watch parties, and coordinated massive rallies, often with minimal direction from paid staff. Yet this was just scratching the surface of what could have been achieved with full trust in volunteer-led organizing. Several key strategic failures limited the campaign's potential. Most critically, they failed to secure resources to deploy the voter database to all 50 states early and empower volunteers to organize their own states before paid staff arrived. This meant losing precious months of organizing in later primary states. The campaign also spent too heavily on television ads rather than investing in organizing infrastructure, despite mounting research showing person-to-person conversations are 3 to 4 times more effective than ads for changing minds and mobilizing voters. By some estimates, shifting just 20% of ad spending to organizing could have doubled the campaign's ground game. Despite the loss, the campaign forged new rules for mass organizing that can propel movements beyond incrementalism. Key innovations included distributed organizing teams, peer-to-peer texting at scale, and volunteer-built tech tools. These approaches enabled ordinary people to take meaningful ownership of the campaign rather than just following orders from paid staff. The big vision of Medicare for All and free public college, combined with big goals for volunteer involvement and big organizing enabled by these revolutionary approaches, provides a blueprint for how movements can win in the digital age. As Bond and Exley write in their conclusion, "The revolution will not be staffed, but it will be organized. The revolution will not be funded by millionaires, but it will be funded by millions of people. The revolution will not be won through incremental change, but it will be won by making big demands and taking big action. This is how we win." This framework has already influenced subsequent movements, from the Fight for 15 to the Green New Deal, showing how distributed organizing can build power for transformational change.